Okay, I'm going to just time out here for a sec. So, yes, a lot of people do, but there are some who don't. And are we're not talking to those guys, right? So, like, for instance, like, if you're the guy who's like, who says, well, I would be more involved, but I've had it about up to here with so-and-so.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I
tried. Remember what happened last time.
Yeah, I tried it before, and that was a dumpster fire. I'm not going to do that again.
Right. Learned my lesson.
Yeah. Well, you know, if they really wanted me, wanted me to be more involved, they would encourage me to do so. Or how about the time where, well, you know,
nobody noticed anything.
Nobody, exactly. I knew where I was going. Like, I've done all these things, and when's the last time anybody told me thank you?
Yeah. Well, I don't think we have to worry about any of those.
Yeah. Okay. So we're not talking to that guy.
Well, he doesn't listen to internet radio.
Okay. So there you go.
We don't have to even worry about that.
Hi, this is Jason and Mark with Interman Radio.
A free service to thinkers everywhere, demystifying the Bible by asking the questions your neighborhood pastor is afraid to answer.
We're live. We're ready to go. We are not talking about a parable today necessarily.
No,
nope. We're not diving into that. We're starting, I don't know if we're saying we're starting something new, but we're, this is more of a one-off, wouldn't you say?
Something like that. Today's topic is, how do you get more involved? How do you add value to your local congregation?
Okay, now that...
That was actually...
Yeah,
how do I add... Very well.
That's the thing that I always think about, you know, is how do I maximize ROI?
How about I leverage?
For my local peeps. Yeah, leverage.
Yeah, I think a lot of people do want to be more involved in their local congregation. They want to be of some valuable assistance in some way, but sometimes it's honestly a little bit daunting. Where do I start that process?
Okay, I'm going to just time out here for a sec. So... Yes, a lot of people do, but there are some who don't, and we're not talking to those guys, right? So, like, for instance, like, if you're the guy who's like, who says, well, I would be more involved, but I've had it about up to here with so-and-so.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I
tried. Remember what happened last time.
Yeah. I tried it before, and that was a dumpster fire. I'm not going to do that again.
Right. Learned my lesson.
Yeah. Well, you know, if they really wanted me, wanted me to be more involved, they would encourage me to do so. Or how about the time where, well, you know,
nobody noticed anything.
Nobody, exactly. I knew where I was going. Like, I've done all these things, and when's the last time anybody told me thank you?
Yeah. Well, I don't think we have to worry about any of those.
Yeah. Okay. So we're not talking to that guy.
Well, he doesn't listen to internet radio.
Okay. So there you go.
We don't have to even worry about that. So if you are looking for that space, you're like, you know what? I'd like to, I want to do something more. I want to be able to move the ball for the team. Okay, how do we do that? Where do we start? And that's where you come
in. Starting with the man in the mirror. Ooh, ooh.
No. Maybe, but we're not going to.
We just did.
All right. Not anymore. Never again. Well, sometimes I think people think, all right, I'm not a preacher. I'm not a teacher. I'm
not an apostle.
And I can't make communion bread. So... What else is there for me? I don't know. That's it. I don't have any other option.
You buy the Welch's?
And those are all taken.
Okay.
Well, yeah. Maybe you could put it in those little... How are you at pouring? I don't know. But if you don't know where to get started, boy, a great place to begin is... all right. Number one, make sure you're taking care of your responsibilities. Like, make sure that you've got your... I don't want to say your own house in order, but like, okay, what jobs do you have right now? And if it's none, well, then good. You've already taken care of those. But if you do have some things that are your responsibility, before you look for new things, let's make sure that we get those things done and done well, that we really have taken care of the stuff that's already on our plate before we go back for seconds.
You're talking about the things that we're responsible for already. Things that God has put in our orbit to take care of with our family. Is that what you're talking about? Like providing?
Yep. Well, it's going to start there. But even like in the congregation. Okay, so maybe I'm thinking I'd like to be more involved. Well, what jobs do you have right now in the congregation? Like, maybe you already have some things that are your responsibility. Maybe there are already people or circumstances or things or this or that that you're already, let's make sure we are doing a good job with those. Sometimes it's easy to think, well, you know, my ministry, my gift, my calling is really over here, but I'm stuck over here.
Right. You've only been given the two talents, but you'd really like to go grab that five.
I think that's where I belong. Yeah.
Okay. Because I know I would do well with the five. Let's do well with the two.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
Exactly.
He who's faithful in little will be faithful in much.
Yes.
Okay.
And because little prepares you for much.
Right.
And so if you've done a good job with those things, then I would absolutely encourage you, let's go find some more to do.
Okay.
So where do we look?
Well, if I'm a... Okay, so we're talking about the body. We're talking about the body of Christ. We're all members of one body. So we're up 1 Corinthians chapter 12. All right. So if I'm a foot, I'm probably going to be looking for things that a foot would do.
Yes.
I mean, just my natural inclination would be to try to find those kinds of things that I would like. The things around me are probably the things that I notice.
Yep.
Are probably the things that need to get done because I have an inclination to find them. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. there's a little bit of nuance here because, you know, well, find my use yours. To the foot, everything looks like a shoe.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
You've
right.
heard that before, you know, to a hammer, everything looks like a nail. And I think sometimes, you know, it's good for us. This process should be driven not by what am I comfortable doing, but instead what needs to be done.
Ah, got it.
And so if we have sort of this preconception that, well, I'm really this kind of person and this is what I do and this is my space where I can really excel, well, we might not look outside of that. So it's really helpful, two things. Number one is try and keep your eyes open for what are the needs rather than what are my aptitudes, right? Okay, well, what needs to get done? Maybe it's not something that you would associate with the foot, but here's the other part. Maybe you're not a foot.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes our perceptions of where our talents lie are wrong. And it's really helpful to think outside of those parameters and maybe even get some other input. Who'd be a good person? If we were on a soccer team, we'd ask the coach.
Yep.
We'd ask the coach. This is my skill set. This is where I am. This is
I'm slow. I don't know how to kick or dribble.
Right.
I'm not a good goalie.
Uh-huh.
I get winded quickly.
Yes.
Coach, where should I be? On the bench.
Two pom-poms.
Yes.
Yeah, I know nothing about this game. That's me. Right. But that really is the job of the coach.
Mm-hmm.
And coaches have the responsibility of trying to put the right players in the right position where their natural strengths and abilities are going to come out. But that's also going to be determined in large degree by what the needs of the team are. Mm-hmm. You might not see yourself as that particular player, but maybe that's the player that we need.
But you're saying the coach would have some greater insight in what the overall needs are, or they should.
It should. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely should. So there's this great, in this case, the movie and the book were both good, but there's a great book and subsequent movie called The Boys in the Boat, right? And it's about that Washington State rowing team in the late 1930s. And it was a lot of the book centers around trying to strike just the right balance with who to put on the team. You know, you got, I think it's eight guys in the boat or something, who to put on the team, and then in what position they fit best on the boat. And I thought that was such a good, you know, I don't know anything about rowing, so it's easy for me to comment, but I didn't know that there were different positions in the boat. I figured everybody gets an oar.
Yeah.
You know, as long as it's fairly equal, left side, right side, that's all good.
Yeah.
there's a lot more nuance to it than that. There are certain guys have to be in certain places with certain strengths and abilities, and even personalities are important. I know that, but I thought it forms such a great picture of what a great coach does, really trying to make his players play together so that their strengths augment each other rather than just filling a seat.
Okay, so what does that look like? So you talk about go to the coach. In this case, we're talking about go to someone in leadership at the assembly. Is
yeah.
What talking about?
Yeah, I think that'd be a great place to start.
And what does that sound like? Put me in, coach. I'm ready to play today. Look at me. I can be center field. Is that what does that sound like?
I think it sounds a lot like that.
Okay.
Hey, I would like to be more involved. I want to be able to help out. And give me some ideas. Where do you think I ought to start? Is there something that I can do to be helpful? Is there, and be prepared to take whatever comes, right? Don't, I wouldn't go with like we were discussing, you know, I wouldn't say, I could be good in this, or this. Those are your options.
Yeah. Pick from those.
Exactly. Like if you do say, hey, listen, I would like to be involved in some way. I want to be a real help to the body. What can I do to plug into that? Then you need to be willing to take some coaching.
Yeah. Go clean the bathrooms.
It might be that.
All right.
It might be that. It might be, hey, you know, can you be a substitute teacher for Sunday school? It might be, you know what? Nobody signed up to clean the building this month. Mm-hmm. It might be, you know, we'd really like to get this over there or do that. Or can you help facilitate? I mean, it could be any one of those things. But if the goal is we want to help the team, then the seat that needs to be filled, it's needs driven, not our perception or not strengths driven. Mm-hmm. And I think having that mindset when you go into that conversation is really important. Like, I'm here to fill the seat that's empty.
Right.
Which seat is that?
Right. So, because what you're saying here is that it's needs driven. There are certain things that some people are better at than others.
Yeah.
Now, zoom right. The boat. Certain the right person in the right seat. But in this conversation, we're not coming to the conversation with that mindset, because we're not coming to say, here's where I should be in the boat. You got anybody, you know, here's, I'm willing to sit in this.
I'm your anchor guy.
Yeah. 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 So no, we're saying what would you like me to do? And take whatever that is and roll with it.
And do it. And yeah. Do it well. Yeah. Just a quick point. For guys who are in leadership space, it would be one thing if we could choose the dream team, right? Well, I need this guy for that. I need that girl for this. I need so and so and that. And if I have to pick all of my players, boy, it's really easy for church leadership to think about. I wish I had this skill set available to me. I wish I had these people that I could tap for this job or that job or the other job. And, you know, you brought up the 1 Corinthians 12 passage, and that's worth checking out for a couple of things. One is, of course, the relationship of all those parts of the different body and their equal importance. But he also brings out in in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and verse 18, he says, God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body just as he desired. Mm-hmm. Well, every coach thinks that they have a championship team. They just had the right players.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not coaching.
And most players think they'd be a championship if they had the right coach.
That's right. For sure.
So. Yeah.
I know that's true of Montana. Yeah, right. But it's so easy to do that. But 1 Corinthians says that you've got the right players, that God has already placed the members, each of them, in the body just as he desired. So play. So find a spot. You might have to shift people around, but I get the impression here that it's not necessarily winning championships that the Lord is primarily concerned with, but it is getting the body to work together. And he says, you have the right players, you have the right parts, but maybe there's something to be learned in the managing, in the coaching of those parts that is good for the coach as well as the players. So be flexible, regardless of which side of that analogy you fall on. Be flexible, because needs are going to determine the tasks, not the other way around. And it falls on us to help each other bear those burdens. So Galatians 6 talks about we bear each other's burdens,
right?
Which is the practical way of fulfilling the law of Christ. Good way that we do that is something that's really simple. It doesn't take a lot of time. It's free, but it will require a little bit of rewiring in the way that we see things around us. And that is what 1 Corinthians 12 describes, is we bestow on those members which are less seemly, right? More abundant seemliness. That is, those parts that maybe appear to be less honorable, we try to go out of our way to honor them all the more.
So when you say honor, that, I mean, in this context, what does that mean? Is that calling them out publicly? I just want to honor you, John.
Is that true honor?
Yes. Yeah. John, we're going to honor you whether you like it or not. Stand up in front of the altar.
I know that for John 2 weeks ago.
Really?
Actually.
What, what's he talking about here?
Well, when we're bestowing honor, I think in a real practical way, that boils down to like Philippians 4:8, where our job is to choose to make the decision that we're going to allow or we're going to choose to allow our mind to dwell on the praiseworthy. I'm going to see in the people around me, I'm going to see the things that I can praise, see the things that are good.
Okay.
Hey, that was a great job today. Or what, you know what, when you said such and such, that I was very, that just made my whole day, you know, or boy, I'm so glad to see you or do that, or whatever it is. But it's just having an eye that's always on the lookout for stuff that's done well, stuff that's done right.
That's a great point, is in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 25 and 26, and this passage is used a lot to talk about don't skip church. That's how I always took that passage, you know, or don't skip church. It's the habit of some. But really, he goes further than that. He says, but consider how to stimulate one another on to love and good deeds. And so there's some considering in here. There is thought put into it ahead of time. What can I do to bestow honor upon this? What can I do to encourage this person? So when you just said it requires some effort in doing this, that seems like that's a real good fit as far as what that passage is talking about.
Yeah, honor doesn't necessarily have to be public. I mean, the fact that you just went a little bit out of your way to recognize that somebody made the effort to get up, get the kids dressed, get them in the car, get them to the same. I mean, just the fact that you took notice of their efforts by spending a little, just a brief conversation even, just to tell them, you know, I'm so glad that you're here. I'm glad that you brought the kids and, but you're doing such a good job and you have honored them in a very real way. It doesn't have to be public. You didn't have to put it on Facebook, but just by your attention and your attention and just
consideration.
You noticed.
Yeah.
That really is a very practical way that we honor people.
Mm-hmm.
And frankly, sometimes that means a lot more than the larger public things, which are not appropriate for everybody. And, you know, and not everybody would appreciate being called up and honored.
John,
to do what you said, to consider, how can I really help that person?
Yeah. Yeah, John stopped stealing this week. Say,
hey,
any...
all right.
Hey, okay. So,
a good place for this is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, where he says in verse 11, he says, therefore, encourage one another and build up one another just as you also are doing. I think maybe just, I think somebody else was doing some encouraging when Paul wrote this.
Mm-hmm.
Just as you also, wink, wink,
are doing. Yeah. Just like, you're doing great.
You're doing so good.
Do it.
That's right.
Yeah.
And then he goes on, he says, but we request of you, brethren, you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction, that you esteem them highly in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another, right? We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly. Encourage the faint-hearted. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. See that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all people. Paul is basically encouraging them to be encouragers of all the folks around them. And he says, at first, it's just a general statement, one another, and build up one another,
right?
But then he breaks it down into a lot of more specific criteria or specific demographics. He says, a little encouragement might go a long way with the guys who diligently labor among you, have charge over you in the Lord, and give you instruction. You know, occasionally a pat on the back, they might really appreciate that. Then he says, but also, even the unruly need to be encouraged and built up. Some admonishing of the unruly. The faint-hearted, maybe they just need somebody to come alongside and say, hey, you know what? You did a great job. You can do this.
Mm-hmm.
This is doable for you. How would you help the weak? Maybe it's bearing their burdens, right?
That was just too obvious. I looked at you when you said that. I thought, well, you bear the burdens of the weak, but that would sound like it's just saying Jesus for any answer that
love.
You love God. No. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Bearing their burdens.
Maybe they need some help. Okay. So, like you said, we need to consider. And with everyone, he says, be patient, because everybody could use a little extra grace from each other. We are all in the same boat. But finding out where everybody fits best, that's going to take a little bit of practice.
Speaking of a little extra grace, so let's say somebody takes us up on this idea,
yep,
which I'm sure this is the first time that they've ever heard.
Mm.
You know, this is just brown-breaking.
Yeah. It's the first time we've said it.
Yeah.
I think that's noteworthy.
Uh-huh. Somebody takes us up on this, and they go to the leadership in the assembly and they say, I would like to be more involved. What kinds of needs do you have? And what they get back is something less than what they were hoping. Maybe they get back kind of a nothing burger.
Uh-huh.
They went, well, you're doing a great job. Just keep doing what you're doing. And
uh-huh.
And so the temptation would be to come away a little bit discouraged.
Yeah.
Maybe even a little bit embittered. Like, well, so help me out. Let's say that a person doesn't quite get the results from the coach that they're looking for.
Okay. So as someone who might be asked that question, I can tell you that it might be a little difficult on the spot to say, well, here are three things that I'd like you to do, and then eventually we'd like to move you into this spot so that you can fill this need. That's a little bit challenging.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the, you know, needs or tasks that need to be completed or things, sometimes those are, they may not be top of mind awareness. And have a little bit of extra patience for guys in leadership, because they usually are trying to balance a number of things at the same time. And so while it might seem like this is a large issue for you, just remember, they're trying to balance that times the number of people in that congregation. So don't be disappointed or hurt if you don't get, you know, a detailed plan of how to become more useful in your local congregation right off the bat. So maybe a better way to do that would be to say, hey, listen, I would love to be able to be more helpful. I want you to think about it. And I've considered, I think maybe this or this are needs that it seems to me maybe could use some additional attention. And I'd be happy to do that if that's what's helpful. But if you just think about it, and then, you know, maybe we can talk about it in a week or two, then I would love to be of more use and of be able to really be a better help to the congregation. So give them a little bit of time to think through that.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's going to be a bit of a trial and error sort of a thing. So
they might not be used to people coming to them asking that question.
They're not.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They're not. So the fact that you are is great. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you might not get an immediate answer. So be prepared to be a little patient, and that's okay. But I would also encourage you to be persistent. And but what'll happen is if you've made that request, then when something does come up, then the guys who are trying to sort that out, that's right. You know, Bob said he'd be, well, Bob, this may not be what you had in mind, but I've got a job for you. Mm-hmm. Like, and that's okay. But it might take a little bit of, you know, shuffling the cards to find exactly the right combination for everybody. And, you know, sometimes the seat that needs to be filled, that's the one you got. So you're next in line, hop in and try it. You may find that you have some talents and abilities that you didn't think you had. But in whatever we're doing, we're trying to move the whole team forward. And, you know, if that's the bigger goal, well, then I don't care which seat I sit in, you know, and I've sat in most of them, and that's okay. You know, it's all right. You put your oar in the water, you try and work together. You try and encourage the guys ahead and behind you. And when you're called upon to perform, you do it well. And you really need to have a great attitude. Like that, something it gets said a lot, but boy, that just is so, so important.
Do it with all your might as if you're working for the Lord and not for man.
Yeah. Yeah. Regardless of what that thing is. So, you know, we're all trying to do that to build up one another, to encourage one another. Everybody's in the same boat.
And we'll see you next time on Interman Radio.
Yeah, thank you for listening. If you like what you hear, you can be sure to never miss an episode by visiting innermanradio.org or get automatic notifications on your phone with the Interman Radio app. It's available on Google Play or Apple stores.